You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat. And you do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it! And welcome, man. The week just flew by this week, and we're back at the old coffee stand here. Actually, I haven't coke, but that's okay. Joining us today will be Alistair Williams from Amoco. That's AAMCO. Amoco is a transmission repair facility. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Fine.
Great. Okay. This is a quick section.
We can't really chat. We've got to stick, only got 10 seconds.
That's right, exactly. Terry Lobson from the Classic Car Auction. It's that time of year again. And we're going to discuss how do they get all those fantastic cars to be entered into the sale. And that's where the auction is. The basis of that industry is getting the cars to the auction.
And got to be good ones.
Well, yeah, they're asking big money for some of that stuff.
Well, there you go.
And I'm in the market. Anyways, Terry Lobson. And the other Terry we're going to join today is Terry O'Keefe from Armvic. And we're talking about negative equity on your bill of sale and how do you handle that, especially if you have an insurance claim. It's going to cause us a lot of problems. So we'll be doing that and more. So tune in. Remember, we have a contest coming up. We'll talk to you about that. It's actually being on right now. We're doing 4 tickets for the Argonaut Blue Bombers game. They're worth $250 a shot. So it's $1,000 worth of football that we're going to give you for nothing, presented by Salem. Take us out.
And if you got a car question, you can give us a call as well.
Yeah, glad to take your calls.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. 3 experts right here on the panel today. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage, and the garage door is wide open, as I often say.
We have 3 toolboxes here today.
It's right, and mine's a little rusty. So Alliston is not the right name, it's Alistair, but we're going to call him All-Star, because it's easy.
All-Star sounds good,
It's great.
That's like a badge of honor, he's an All-Star, right?
So you're in the tranny business.
Yes.
How does somebody know where the tranny's going? I mean, they're buttoning along, gear's not shifting. How does that happen?
Yeah, usually what happens is the car will be driving. Sometimes, you know your car will be shifting through the RPMs, 1, 2, and then all of a sudden you go into third gear and yang, thing flies out of gear, right?
Yeah.
So that's another indication of, when your tranny's slipping or it's gone.
Are fluids part of that? Like when you do check your oil, the guy will check your fluids?
Yes. Around every 40,000 to 60,000 kilometers, get your fluid inspection, right? If it's pretty dark, there's an indication of something burning inside there. If it's still pretty red, then
a lot of guys have said that a lot of transmissions are just sometimes computer problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You have solenoid problems as well with the newer vehicles, right? So those, you got to at least, scan or get plugged in, and guys can, determine, see what the problem is there too as well.
So let's say, for example, you're a car owner and your check engine light comes on, but you don't really quite know what it is. At your shop, what would you normally do in that case?
Yeah, we'd let the customer know that we can check the vehicle for free, right? We'll hook it up to our scanners, scan for any codes, right? Determine to see if we can, solve the problem right then and there, and give them an estimate on how much the repairs would be.
Uh-huh.
If we have to go further in for diagnosis, then obviously there'd be a charge.
Now, they got right now we're to 9-speed, and I was reading about Mercedes with 11-speed transmission.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep up with that technology?
Well, basically, got invested in a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different dials and things of that nature to, you know, solve those problems and diagnose those problems. Just, you know, updating equipment almost every year, every other year, to see exactly what's going on with these vehicles.
I'm
going
to put you on the spot here. Sure. Worst transmission.
Oh man. I got to say that basically you're looking at those CVT transmissions, those Nissan Maximas, yeah. Those 2016.
Wait a second, you're driving one of those.
I got a 14. 14s are fine.
Yeah.
Well, you got the 16s, the newer models.
Yes.
Very, very, very difficult.
And expensive to repair?
Oh, very expensive, yeah.
So, in other words, if you're buying a car and it's got CVT, tranny,
yeah.
Walk the other way.
Oh, absolutely. Stick to your, you know, regular, you know, 5-speed transmissions, you know, clutches, gears.
Well, I guess that's part of the secret. You know, you kind of wonder if the CVT was all that was cracked up to be, why would all these other companies be involved in making more speeds in the transmission?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea of the CVT or the more speeds, of course, is to get better fuel economy, right?
Right.
You know, to get better performance out of the car. If the CVT was the real answer, well, then these other companies wouldn't be doing that.
And I guess they're so heavily invested they can't step aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, absolutely. They get knee deep into, but the thing is, what they do is they keep a lot of the info in-house too. So
right.
When you get these damages, mm-hmm. you know, shops like mine and, you know, Mr. Transmission, yeah, we're able to diagnose, but not necessarily to do rebuilds and things of that nature. You know, you're looking at more reman or refurbished transmission.
I understand. Demands. Now, one of the things we were talking about in the green room was a lot of your business is wholesale.
Yes.
Right? So, I mean, the public is part of your business, but the major part of your business is you're working for other shops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Yeah, absolutely. You know, so we do different repairs for other shops, you know, rebuilds on Ford F-150s, do those in between 1400 and 1700, because we already know what components going into it, you know, how much it costs for fluid, all that stuff.
But, Alistair, as you were saying, at least for that Ford transmission, you can buy the parts. You can buy a kit, which is seals and clutches, right. For example.
Right.
You can buy hard parts. But the CVTs, you can't necessarily, eh?
No, absolutely not.
How do you fix those?
Basically, you got to either get it brand new from a warehouse, or you're looking at a refurbished, basically a used one.
So you're looking $3,000-$4,000
in that range, 22 to 35, depending on the vehicle.
Go ahead.
So there is aftermarket companies now that are already manufacturing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just, you know, basically going to the manufacturer themselves and you know, buying it from there, but not getting the manuscript how to rebuild. They hold that all close to their chest.
They keep that in house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you basically, if you've got a 7-year-old car and it needs a tranny, you can write it off.
Yeah.
Because it isn't worth $4,000 in the marketplace.
No. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You can do that. There's an option for that.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things we also were talking about, you guys specialize in special exhaust systems.
Yeah, absolutely. We do custom exhaust repair. You know, flex pipes, depending on the vehicle, 150. We do flange kits, spring bolt kits, you know, 120 to 150. Some, depending on the vehicle, 80. You know, we do pipe bending. We got some of the best technicians in the industry right now.
Now, this is your own personal shop,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes.
And where are you guys located?
We're located at 8600 Keele Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Concord, Ontario. Some people know it as Vaughan, Maple.
Yeah,
right?
The city above Toronto.
Yes.
I thought I'd throw that in. What the hell?
Well, you might as well just sing the song to Canada's Wonderland or something.
I don't remember that.
Same vicinity, I think, eh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you want to go to Wonderland, drop the car off for the day, take the kids over there. Pick it up at the end
and
of the day.
You come back, sorry, sir, your car's not ready. We're missing a widget. Take my truck and go home.
You know, hard on ours to find a cadiddle. We're looking all over for it. I just can't seem to find one.
Things like we call that. But that's something in the industry they were talking about was that in the smaller shops will stay in touch with their customers.
Absolutely.
Text them and phone them, and that's.
Absolutely.
And as a matter of fact, there was an article about JD Power,
mm-hmm.
that independent shops are doing way better as customer service than dealerships are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we take care of our customers. We basically go to bat for them every time just to keep them coming back. You know what I mean? So they know that they're getting the service that provide, you know, the mechanics that they're, you know, getting the service from. They have the proper tools, the proper equipment to do the service, and they got the passion to do it.
Got it.
The passion to do it. That sounds great.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm sold. Can I bring my car in?
Yeah, you know, if it's off the highway, we'll do a tow for free, as long as you do the repairs. Yeah.
There you go.
All righty, when we come back, we're going to be talking about Terry Lobson, about the Canadian...
The auction.
What is it called now? The Classic Car Auction, Classic Car Productions. There you go.
CCP.
CCP. And we're going to be talking a little bit about mechanical stuff. And the industry just got checked over by J.D. Power, and we did very well. The aftermarket did really well compared to the dealerships, who are basically most of our competition.
There you go.
All right.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. You got a car care question? Give us a call right now.
Alrighty, I'm Dave Redinger, and Alan Gelm is with me.
I am right here.
And All-Star Williams is here.
What's happening?
Was that your name when you were a disc jockey?
No. It was Alley Cat.
All right.
But in the kitchen, they call me All-Star.
Terry Lopes is with us from the Classic Car Auction, which is supposed to be called the Collector Car Productions, correct?
Yes, Collector Car Productions, yeah.
I know. I've been through you guys so many years that I have to morph. Know.
We know who you are.
I know. Thank you.
I still call it Sky Dome.
Yeah.
And the O'Keefe Center. Shows you how far back I go, eh?
Oh, boy.
Terry, the auction's coming up in October.
Yes.
Now, you're already out there scrounging for people to offer their cars up. How does that process work?
Well, we use a lot of leprechauns.
I thought that.
We get a lot of calls. We got a lot of inquiries. We've been in the business doing the Toronto auctions for almost 30 years now. So we've got a reputation out there for buying and selling cars over the years and trying to find homes for them. So we get, I would say, most of them come from individuals, sometimes estate collections, a few classic car dealers, people in the trade business. Sometimes we get tips on cars. We'll go, find them ourselves. But a lot of times it's just individuals looking for a place to, move the car, buy or sell the car. So we're kind of like an adoption agency. We try to find the cars for people and buyers and sellers and put them together.
Terry, a question. Is there any risk? Like, let's say, for example, I've got a car that I want you guys to sell for me. Let's say it doesn't sell. Okay, mm-hmm. There's not the proper bidder. They just can't get the right amount of money. Does that cost me for you to do that? And
yeah, well, there's a cost of putting on this event, and we have so many spots available.
Okay,
we bring over 20,000 people in through the weekend. So what happens if you have a significant car and you want to put a reserve price on it, and mm-hmm. it doesn't hit the reserve? You get another kick at the can. If it doesn't reach it, you think, geez, man, I should have took that last bid. We move it into another area, and we put a still for sale sign on it, and we have a desk there. You can go and talk to the people and negotiate
mm-hmm.
During that weekend. And if your car doesn't sell, so it's another kick at the can. But we try our best, like I say, to try and we work with the buyer and the seller to make sure that everybody's happy.
Now, one of the ways you also promote it, of course, is you have guys have a website, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have people all over the place, really. I mean, people that have dealt with us over the years. So, we work on tips. We all, we know who's buying what, what's selling, what isn't selling, condition. There's a lot of factors in there, but
And weeks beforehand, you guys will actually post up on the site, Dave. Coming up?
We put the list up there, and we take cars right up until almost to the auction day.
Mm-hmm.
Last minute things. So sometimes you'll come and they won't get into the catalog. We try and encourage people to get in as soon as they can to get the benefit of any promotion or advertising we do, or get into the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we'll take cars right up until the end. So, cause we have a few spaces left and we try to fill them up as best we can. And so sometimes there's a lot of really interesting cars that, not a lot of people know about. So it's an exciting, event. You never know what's going to happen or who's going to be there.
Terry, when you have a car, a 73 Corvette split window, or 63, and you chase those down. Like, do you see them at other auctions and they don't move, so you approach them and have them come up here?
Not really. Sometimes if it's a significant car or something, there's a lot of Canadian built cars as well that may not have the attraction down in the U.S. or something. Sometimes we see some of those that they'll do better in Canada, or maybe like Toyota Land Cruisers, maybe. You don't see a lot of them up here, but
no, it's true. Yeah,
we got one of those restored, you know. So there's some interesting things that you'll see up here that you won't see in the U.S. So, but I would say a majority of the cars that people call us, a lot of times, you know, it's an estate collection or family has owned a, you know, a car, don't know what to do with it, don't want to go through the, you know, the hassle of trying to sell it yourself. And we take care of the paperwork. We can take care of transportation. And so there's, a comfort level there for people that just, you know, they need some help. And that's what we try to do.
Well, especially, I guess. If
they're looking for them.
Yeah, especially if, you know, you're a first-timer. Let's say all of a sudden you've heard you on the radio. And I'm thinking maybe I'll go out and look at it. So you'll actually walk me through it. So, you know, to get the bidding card is no big deal. And then again, to arrange to have it towed out, I can get that done there as well, eh?
Yeah, and if you want to, you know, sometime if you have time or you're not in a big hurry, I would suggest that people come on out and see how the auction works, because sometimes it's the first time. It can be quite intimidating. It's like the Super Bowl of in Canada here for buying, selling cars. So come out or bring somebody with you that knows a lot about cars if you're buying or selling. And, you know, we can help you, too. We have people there that can help you through or give you some advice on it. You'll find a lot of advice. You'll get more advice than
you
ask for.
And you get to talk to the owner, because he'll tell you the whole story of
sometimes,
the car.
Sometimes, most of the times, they say the owners are there with the cars. So.
All right, Terry, you got to run. What's the date of the auction again?
That's October the 15th. 15th, 16th.
And that's out at the airport.
13th, yeah. 15th. And we'll be giving away 13th, tickets for the auction as usual.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 13th, 14th, 15th.
Right.
We got it right. Yeah. Check our website, CCP Auctions. All the information's on there, and the list of cars, too. It's coming up. And there'll be more added as they're coming in close to the show.
Thanks, Terry. Have yourself a great weekend.
Yeah. We'll talk to you guys again. Thank
you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Interesting stuff, huh?
Yeah. Where did you sell your car? You told me you just sold one of your cars.
I sold it privately.
Maybe you could have got more at the auction.
I want to get rid of it.
Okay, I'm looking for a 71 Dodge Charger. Right?
Yeah, that's your sweetheart.
You'll have to check the website, CCP Auction.
All right. I want to just quickly say that I was talked last week about a rumor, and I'm going to tell you what happened about that, about electric cars. We'll be right back. It's
Dave's Corner Garage.
Yeah. Alrighty, it's Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, we have a great website. It's called davescornergarage.com. All kinds of information.
And contest.
Well, I'm just getting there.
Okay.
And I want you to enter the contest for four seats.
To the Bomber and Argo game.
Yep, October the 23rd. Apparently it's 50-yard line. They're worth $250 apiece. They're yours for nothing.
How could you all sit on the same line?
Well, I can sit on my lap. The other part of that is you get second prize will be a set of four assailants for your light car or truck. Or no, light
car. No, light car or truck.
I'm having this morning. You know, the other day we were talking about this.
There's a rumor. There's a rumor going around.
The rumor says if electric cars are not participating in road tax, then, in other words, the government's going to be out a lot of money. They're going to look for ways to replace that money because these guys aren't buying gas.
Right, because that's how road taxes get paid. They tax the gasoline.
Right. But my son corrected me. He said, it's not road tax. It goes into a general account. In other words, we get fornicated again.
But they're not collecting it. No, it makes a difference what they call it. But it ain't getting collected.
Right. So the rumor was that the plates are going to cost up to $2,500 for plates on an electric car to make up the lack of road tax for that year. So I got almost 3,000 hits on our webpage.
Wow.
Because people were so up in arms about this. It's just a rumor, but it's amazing what people are thinking. That a lot of everybody says the same thing. Yeah, that's going to happen once they become popular. Same with diesel gas. Remember, it started cheap, and then all of a sudden it costs more than gasoline. Let's go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Mike. And Mike has got a concern about turn signals.
What's going on, Mike?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, I got a 2004 Dodge Caravan.
Yep.
The directionals, I don't know if this is an expensive issue.
Everything.
When you put on the left directional, it doesn't snap back in. You got to do it manually.
Right.
Now, recently, the left directional is going twice the speed as the right directional.
Okay.
So why is it going so fast, and why is the right normal and the left twice the speed?
There you go. First of all, you've got a light bulb out or a bad connection, all right?
Okay, I have to put the the garage will have to put their computer in on it, I guess.
No, you get the wife to stand in front of the car.
The easiest thing to do here, the easiest thing to do is put your emergency flasher on.
Yeah.
And then walk around the car.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that.
You're either going to...
Well, I did check it, and the bulbs are working on the rear, on the lights.
How about the fronts?
Don't know about the front. I didn't look there.
Okay, also important. So one of those could be burned out. And if it's not...
If it is, then that means the directional will go twice as fast.
Yep. That's correct. Or sometimes it means they won't even flash. Like, it'll come on solid and not flash. But it's usually that. Now, if you do see them glowing, make sure that they're both with the same intensity. Because if you had a bad ground, for example, it may be on, but not on as bright as it should. And that's why it's going a different speed. Now, as far as the signal not releasing, you can't hang your purse off it, okay?
No.
Because it's not, you know, because when you come through the turn, it's not enough power, you know, to lift it off.
Don't laugh. I'll tell you a story about that. But the reality is your car coming in for a recall for the airbags?
Yeah, I go. No, I don't. Why? Is it up for a call?
Well, you better check, because what happened with my Jeep, I had the same problem. The switch was gone, but when they swapped out the airbag, they put the switch in for free.
Oh, really?
Okay, so it needs a switch. The actual switch itself is gone.
Okay.
All right, it's about $80 or $90, I think. I know I paid $100.
Okay,
all right?
That's good.
But
I just wanted to know.
But check the airbag recall on your car for Takata.
Well, I'll ask the boys at Master Mechanic. They know.
Perfect.
Yeah, they'll know, yes.
All right, thanks, Mike. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, keep on trucking.
Now, what I want to know about you with your purse on the turn signal lever.
Oh, so this goes back to the days when I was service manager at Honda, and this lady comes in and she says, the car does not run properly. And we check the car out, and everything's nice. So, okay, we're going to go for a drive. So we jump in the car. She pulls out the choke, which which the old days.
Manual choke,
choke, pulls out the choke, hangs her purse on it, and away we go. But we don't. See, there you go. She says, it doesn't work. I says, hold on, ma'am. Boom. Well, that's better.
Hey, that's it.
All right. We're going to go back to the phones. We got a lovely lady named Linda there who's got a question about an oil change. What can we do for you, Linda?
Yes, sir. I have a Rogue Nissan.
Yes.
And I wonder if I drive the car less than 5,000 per year, do I change the oil how often?
We like to say that you should still change it at least twice a year, okay? Because if you do very short drives, okay?
Yes, they're all short.
Right. See, the engine really never warms up properly.
Right.
And you get a lot of water vapor inside of it. So, and that contaminates the oil. Besides the fact that you probably never check anything yourself, do you? I mean, you never open up the hood to check the levels or look at the tires or something like that, right?
No. I go to the garage and I do check those stuff.
Oh, they do check those stuff. Okay.
Yeah. The other problem I have, I lose also lots of air from the front tires.
Yes.
And every couple of weeks I have to, you know, rebuild again. I don't know what's wrong, but even Nissan says we don't know.
Oh, yeah, they know.
They know the tires are leaking on the rims. Nice.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, that could be even a tire valve or even a puncture or
rim leak?
leaking the rim.
So, I don't know. They never really had come up with the idea. They say, just leave it here. We'll check all of them and cause this and that. But officially, the repair was done once. One tire, they said, we tried to do something so it won't lose air again. But this thing goes on for 5 years. I have the car 5 years.
5 years.
Problem.
No, I would go another shop.
Yeah, go to a tire shop, explain the problem. They take the tire off. They put it inside of a tank. And it shows the leaks. And more than likely, it's a rusted rim inside.
Absolutely. Or bring it by our shop. We can diagnose it, too. We got water tanks.
Well, we're going to get
8,600 kilos.
What shop do you recommend, sir?
Well, where do you live?
I thought we go close to Kipling.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it to Amco, right? 8,600 Keel Street, right in Vaughan. Not too far away from you there.
Oh, what's the name again?
Amco.
A-A-M-C-O.
All right, Linda, we got to run. Thank you for calling. Have yourself a great weekend, and that's it.
Okay.
And, we got Larry on the phone.
Okay, so
he's
Larry,
got an electric car question. I wonder if he's buying license plates for it.
$2,500. I want $3,000. Okay, what about it?
This is Dave's Corner Garage, back with more frivolity after this break. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. There is a discussion on electric cars. I understand.
And you were stirring the pot up. You got
Larry is going to be.
You got Larry so angry. Larry in Toronto. Go ahead, sir.
Do you hear me?
I can.
Okay. First off, I was a little disappointed. I sent you an email 2 months ago telling you about National Electric Drive Week and asked you if there was any chance that you could show up at one of our events, and I didn't get a response.
I'll be honest with you.
Talk about some of these errors that you talk about.
Okay, let me first off, before you start yelling at me here, I get approximately 150 emails a day. If I missed it, I apologize because I would have liked to have come. All right, so I apologize for that. Let me know if it happens again. And actually, just text us because the texts go through right away.
All right, Larry, and second point?
Yes.
Just so you know, if anybody is interested in electric vehicles, there is an event today at Plug and Drive. And if you show up there, you get on the list and you can actually test drive an electric vehicle. And it is in North York at 1126 Finch Avenue West. And if you visit, there's also another EV plus ICE show tomorrow in Brampton that you can talk to the owners. There's no dealers. It's strictly what do we do and how do we do it. I've had my books in 2017 Bolt for 24 weeks. I've put on 33,000 kilometers and cost me a total of $46.72 when I was in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What does ICE stand for?
Combustion engine. Anything that's not an EV.
Okay. I don't really fully understand this. So you're showing this is an EV exhibit?
Exactly. And what it is and you can come out, you actually talk to the EV owners.
Okay.
There's one tomorrow in Brampton. There's one next Saturday in Kitchener at Kitchener City Hall. There's one also next Saturday in Aurora and also on the 14th in Barrie.
Larry, is it Bolt your first electric car that you've owned?
Definitely. I happen to meet some friends that had Volts with the V,
mm-hmm.
And I just loved it. And Chevy actually has a thing in Detroit in August, which is called the Silent Cruise, and it ties into the Woodward Cruise that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And they invite us down, and we're the only Canucks that get invited, oddly enough. But there was 178 cars there this year. There was 140 of them were Volts, and the balance were Bolts.
Yeah.
And last year, we were fortunate. When we went there, there was 10 Bolts on site, and we couldn't drive them, but they actually had staff take us out. I was lucky enough to go out with the gentleman that wrote the software. And I just loved it. I got home October. I put down $500. And March 16th, I got my car.
Larry, let me ask you a question. When you recharge your car, okay, at a charging station that's outside, how do you pay for that?
If you're really cheap like I am, you don't. Hey, I admit it. My background's accounting.
Okay.
I save every penny I can.
All right. So how do you steal your electricity?
Hey, I have no charging at home because I live in a multi-dwelling.
Right.
But there's level one, two, and threes. Okay, level one is your home receptacle, which is a 120. A level
right.
two is a 208 or 280, and a level three is 480.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto Airport has five at the cell lot, which are the level threes,
right.
plus five at administration lot.
Wow.
Well, right, but do you have to, like, put in your credit card before it'll start working? How do they do it?
Different manufacturers have different things.
Okay.
The IKEA stores in Ontario have both level twos and level threes free of charge.
Free of charge.
All yes.
Really?
And you just free. Same with the ones at the airport are free. There is, thanks to the Ontario government that decided to make chargers available to us, we have hundreds of them free and hundreds that you pay.
Wow. Larry, we're in our last minute, so you better give us the contact information or the website.
National Electric Drive. I think it's .net, but just search that and you'll get it.
National,
you'll see the five events.
Okay.
National Electric Drive.
All righty. Good. We'll do that. And I'll give you, check my phone number, which is the hotline, and you can text me when you have an event, and we'll make sure that we do our best to get out there.
Now, and if you're running a grow op, call Larry, because he can tell you how to get free electricity. Way to go, Larry. He'll be at 1126 Finch West this afternoon.
Yes. Yeah. 11 National Grow
Op. National Grow Op Society.
All right. Terry O'Keefe's on the phone. We're going to talk to him after this break, and we're going to discuss negative equity. That means when you're in the ditch with your car, but not physically.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Okay, after being tongue-lashed
by Larry.
I think it's actually not that idea. I understood he had a Volt, but you said he had a Bolt.
No, he had a Bolt with a B.
Okay. Alrighty. Terry O'Keefe is on the phone. He's actually on the road. We're talking on hands-free, of course, right?
Absolutely.
Boy, you sound great. Good morning, Terry. I was with OMVIC, which is the Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry Council. They are the regulators of the car industry. Let's just put it that way. And you sent out a bulletin the other day of reflecting negative equity on bills of sales. Tell us what negative equity is.
Well, negative equity simply is when you owe more for a car than it's worth. It usually occurs because you've taken an extended term loan.
Mm-hmm.
You financed a car over 7 or 8 years, but you trade it in before it's paid off, and it's worth much less than what the wholesale trade-in value is. So you have to take that negative equity that's still owing, add it to the loan for the new car you're buying, and finance that. And the bulletin that you're referencing, Dave, is a message that we sent to dealers reminding them that negative equity has to be accurately reflected on the bill of sale.
So what you're showing is...
hide it.
I was going to say...
You can't hide it by adding fictitious fees or inflating the price of the vehicle. It has to be very clear. Here's the trade-in value. Here's the payout on the lien. And as long as that's the way it's done, that's perfect.
So what are the downsides of that? Okay, if say your example sells the car that was $43,000, but he owed $20,000 on his trade. So they're saying that they would say write it up at $63,000 if they were hiding the equity?
Yeah, that's exactly what could happen. It would appear on all the documentation that the car actually cost much more than it really did, when a good portion of that money that's needed for financing is as a result of the negative equity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying that there's anything wrong with negative equity. We're not saying it's illegal or you can't finance it. We're simply saying it has to be accurately reflected on the contract.
So when would this come into play? When you say he writes the car off, but the negative equity is inflated to $63,000, but the car is only worth $38,000. So bottom line is somebody's out a few bucks.
Oh, that's an excellent point. And that's one of the dangers of negative equity that people don't understand when they take out the long-term loans. The example we use is you financed it over 8 years. 4 years later, you want to trade it in, but you're a commuter. You put high miles on it. It's worth $7,000. You still owe $16,000. You got to roll all the rest of that negative equity into your new car loan. That car gets written off, as you said, or stolen. Well, the insurance company is going to pay you the value of the car, not what you owed on the loan.
Right.
You're still going to be responsible for paying the rest of that money back to the finance company.
So you're digging a deeper hole every time this happens. I mean, how do people eventually get out, or do they?
Alan, that's another really good point, is because it snowballs.
Yeah.
So you roll $7,000 of negative equity into your next car purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do it again. And the next time you're rolling in $18,000. And then you do it again. And believe it or not, we've seen cases of this with people with $25,000 to $30,000 of negative equity. And it becomes unsustainable for many people. And eventually you'll get to the point where either a bank won't finance you or you won't be able to afford the payments on that giant loan for your next car purchase.
Next thing you know, you're calling that bill consolidation company or you're declaring bankruptcy. I mean, that's really the only way out.
It could be for some people.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, we're not saying that, extended term loans should be done away with. We're just saying if you're going to engage in one, do it with eyes wide open. Make sure you know about the potential pitfalls. Understand negative equity. Know how many kilometers you drive. How long do you intend to own the car? Do you trade in quite often? Because if you drive a lot or you trade in quite often, an extended term loan might not be the best way to go.
This really comes up a lot also, I think, in leasing. where you've got trading in your car on another lease and it's got negative equity, and they just pop it on the new lease.
And this is kind of the extended term loans is what the banks, a similar bank product to a lease, because the banks aren't allowed to lease.
Right.
So they've, by offering an 8-year loan, they found a way to make those payments smaller.
Right.
Much the way a lease is. And just as, you know, leasing has pros and cons, extended term loans have pros and cons. You do get that lower monthly payment or biweekly payment, but you absolutely have to be concerned about negative equity.
You know, it's funny that you're talking about an eight-year loan. Do people actually keep a car for 8 years? I mean, it's kind of rare. They keep a car 4 years, and then they want the next whiz-bang.
Another really good point, Dave. 4 to 5 years is average. And if you're one of those people that's average and you're going to trade that car in 4 years and you take out an 8-year loan, you're probably still going to owe more than half
Yep.
of what that car cost.
Yep.
But what's the chance that it's worth that?
Rare to Midland.
Well, and the other part of the problem here, I'm sure Alistair will agree with me, you know, you got talking about a car that's 4 or 5 years old. Besides the monthly payment, you got to make repairs.
Sure.
You're going to have to put tires on it. You're going to have to put brakes on it. So here you got to write a check for $1,000 in repairs and then still write $500 check at the end of the month.
Right.
Whoa,
yes.
You're getting deep.
Yeah,
absolutely. And by 4 or 5 years, the warranty's usually used
Yes,
up.
There that's you right. go. Exactly right.
All right, Terry, thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Yes. You too.
It's omvic.ca if you want more information. This is probably on their website, but it's something you should be very, very cautious of. It's like buying a house just in the recent bubble, and now it ain't worth what the mortgage is. What do you do?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Find out the information before you buy.
Okay, we come back after the phones to Jane from Maxwell, Ontario. I don't know where that is.
She has a house there.
I've never been there.
She makes coffee.
I didn't know that.
You didn't get it. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Okay, well, welcome back. We're going to write to the phones, and Jane is on the line with Jane, good morning. You have road noise?
What's that?
Your question was about road noise?
Yes, in the back end of my vehicle.
What's it sound like, and what kind of car you got? Fill us in.
It's a 2014 Santa Fe, Hyundai Santa Fe Sport, and it just seems to be a lot of noise in the back end when you're driving.
Now, is it over bumps? What's it sound like?
Just a lot of road noise, like you're running over the pavement, and it's just noisy.
Mm.
Is it a humming sound?
Sometimes there's a bit of a humming sound. I notice it different to what my husband notices it, but we have a lot of road noise, what we lot, anyways.
When's the last time you switched your tires?
I just bought this vehicle in April.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried different tires, so I don't know if there's a type of tire that we can use on it that doesn't allow a lot of road noise, because that's the only message I'm getting from anybody I talk to, is that it's the type of tires we use.
So when you change the tires, did the noise change? Did it get louder? Did it get lower?
We put our winter tires back on yesterday and took it out for a drive, and it wasn't quite as noisy.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean your summer tires were noisier than your winter tires?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
The area behind the back seat.
Yes.
Put some blankets in there. Just lay them down, 3 or 4 if you can, and drive it again and see if the noise has changed. All right,
okay.
Because that's a really hollow area, and that would really amplify any noises that are coming off the tires.
Now, I know when you lift up that floor in the back behind the seats, there is a lot of separate compartments. But is that not supposed to be insulated for that noise?
Well, sometimes it depends how bad it is. It may be acceptable in the marketplace, but it may not be acceptable to you.
Oh, okay.
All right, so throw some blankets in there. See if it gets quieter. If it does, then you know they have that curtain that goes across from the back seat to the door. There's like a pull-out. You either can buy it or it comes with the car. And it's there for to hide the luggage, but it's sometimes there just to reduce the noise.
Oh, okay.
All right, so it's mostly coming from the back end.
I think the first thing she should do, though, is try to figure out if that the noise is normal sound or, in fact, is something worn. Like, for example, do you have a bad wheel bearing, or could you have worn-out tires or worn irregularly tires, or you could have stabilizer links that are bad. That'll give you a clunking kind of sound.
So is it high mileage, this car?
Just a second. My husband's got a message for you about it.
Okay.
Hi.
Sure.
I'm just listening to you on the radio in the garage. I've just put another set of snow tires on, which we had on the old Santa Fe, and they weren't too bad.
Okay, have you driven it now, and now it's quieter?
No, I'm going to take it to Orangeville today and see how, if it's an improvement.
Oh, so you're going to have make us wait a whole week before we find out the answer?
Wow.
You're going to have to call back next week just to tell you if it worked or not.
It's definitely road noise.
Okay. I think what you need to do is if you look at the tire that was noisier, okay,
yes.
Run your hand over the surface of the tread.
There's lots of tread on there. There's lots of tread.
No, I understand that, but it could be worn funny. It could be worn irregular. What they call it is cupping, okay?
Yeah.
If you run your hand backwards, like try it one way, you might find it smooth. If it doesn't go smoothly the other way, but in fact you find it bumpy, almost like a corduroy kind of feel, then maybe that's what it is. It could be that the tire's cupping.
Yeah.
So don't let it fool you. I mean, there's lots of tread there, but if it wears irregularly, it'll cause all kinds of noise.
Being it's a reasonably new car, it's only 2 or 3 years old, I doubt there's going to be a shock problem.
Yeah. Right? This is, yeah.
So you know I never mentioned the shocks.
Well, I mentioned it. Okay. Here's the bottom line before we say goodbye. Put in a couple of blankets, see if it changes the tone, and maybe that's your answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
you're welcome, Jane's husband. Thank you very much for calling.
Alrighty. So that's a show.
Get out of here.
All Star here.
Thanks, guys.
All Star Williams. Sounds like a ball player.
Okay, let's get it right. It's Alistair Williams, right?
Yes.
And your shop is Amco Transmission on, what's the address?
In Total Car Care at 8600 Keele Street. That's in Concord, Ontario. Units 1 and 2, come check us out. Got the best in the biz in the exhaust.
Well, he's not the best in the business, but he's
good. Oh, no, I got the king of the exhaust kings there.
Oh, yeah, exhaust.
And if you're going to Wonderland and you're looking for free parking.
That's right. There you go.
Alistair says, come by the shop. I'll give you a ride.
I'll run you down there.
Actually, to be honest, to have somebody that actually bends metal for exhaust systems is rare. Everybody else installs OEMs.
Right.
Whack them with a big hammer.
That's right.
Thanks to the folks.
We'll make it fit.
That's right.
From the Auto Auction. Thank you, Alan, for another great week.
That's right.
And Sebastian behind the board. And that's about it. I got to thank my wife for letting me come. And away we go.
Yeah. and I'm the most handsome guy in Downsview, you know.
Is that right?
I'm really close to, Larry's electric car auction there up on Finch Avenue. 1126 Finch. If you want to get an electric car or at least feel what it's like, you should go see Larry.
I plan to have a nap after this.
That's it, Dave. Stop lunch and go grab one.
Alrighty. Keep the shiny side up,
Lunchbox,
the greasy
podcast
side down, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.